All right, this time we're going to get ready here for the bus ministry workers meeting. If I can have the special music make their way up here, and as soon as they are done, we're going to break up anybody who's involved in the bus ministry, any capacity, helping on the bus, working. As soon as the special music is done, you just help yourself dismiss over to the gym. I know Brother Cale specifically asked also for any those bus mechanics. I know Brother Payne, I'm not sure if you can get out or not, but he'd love to have the bus mechanics over there as well. So let's have the special music make their way up. Looking forward to hearing a blessing from them and looking forward to hearing what's the remainder of our night. Brother Gregor.
A country where no twilight shadows deepen, an ending day where night will never be, a city where no storm clouds will not gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Heaven, beautiful heaven. Walking on streets of gold in a land that will never grow old. Heaven, beautiful heaven. With loved ones who've gone on before. And when at last his face I see, throughout eternity, that is what heaven means to me. What joy will be when we get over yonder, and from all pain and sorrow we'll be free. No unkind words to wound the heart forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Heaven, beautiful heaven. Walking on streets of gold in a land where we'll never grow old. Heaven, beautiful heaven. When loved ones who've gone on before, and when at last his face I see, throughout eternity, that is what heaven means to me. A place where sickness has no habitation, all enmity and strife are passed away. No tears will fall and no more lamentation. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Heaven, beautiful heaven. Walking on streets of gold in a land where we'll never grow old. Heaven, beautiful heaven. With loved ones who've gone on before. And when at last his face I'll see, throughout eternity, that is what heaven means to me. Someday all cares of life will surely vanish, and we will stand before his judgment throne to hear him say, well done, thou faithful servant. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Heaven, beautiful heaven. Walking on streets of gold in a land where we'll never grow old. Heaven, beautiful heaven. With loved ones who've gone on before. And when at last his face I'll see, throughout eternity, that is what heaven means to me.
All right, folks, you are dismissed. Those in the bus ministry, help yourself to go across the gym. I appreciate it. And the rest of you folks who are here, if you can kind of do a favor and kind of work your way up to the front, be a blessing. I'd appreciate it. Those of you folks who are not involved in the bus ministry, if you can kind of work your way up to the front, fill in these empty spots here in the pews. It kind of helps with the oxygen level in the room, you know. That'd be a blessing. Just really look forward to having Brother Johnson here tonight, preacher for us. Amen. Good crowd. All right. Well, Brother Larry's a blessing. No stranger to this church. What a blessing. The Abundant Life Ministry. The Lord's blessing him in that work. What a burden he has. I don't want to steal too much of his thunder here, but I know he's a blessing to me personally. A good friend. Of course, we're in that ton of same Sunday school class together, and just a blessing he has. I know when I was back in Connecticut, got to work in the Abundant Life Ministry. So They have both have the same burden for the ministry, and it's a tremendous blessing and a help to the needy folks, and I'm excited to hear from him. So this time, I'll have a word of prayer, and then Brother Larry, it's all yours. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. I thank you for how good you are to us, Lord. Thank you again for Brother Johnson, his burden. Lord, I pray you bless him tonight. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, as only you can do, I pray as a man of God speaks, Holy Ghost, I pray that you would touch the hearts, Holy Spirit. You would make the changes as sees fit, Lord. And I thank you for using him as you've used him already, Father. We do love you and thank you now. And bless Brother Caleb as well over there in the gym also. And thank you for all those folks who are faithful in serving that great bus ministry. All this we ask in your name. Amen. Brother Larry.
All right. If you got a Bible, let's look at Colossians chapter number 1. If you got a Bible, Colossians chapter number 1. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 18. Before we get started, I wanted to say a couple of things. I had asked preacher a couple of weeks ago if I could say something to the church about everything that everybody's done for Esther. I appreciate that so much. You know, I think to myself sometimes, I work about 50 minutes away from home, and, you know, she doesn't drive. She doesn't have any family here. And at times, I get nervous about that. You know, I work quite a bit of hours, and, you know, I wonder to myself, boy, if something goes wrong, what's going to happen to her? And, of course, she ended up in the hospital a couple of weeks ago, as you guys know, and I wasn't there. You know, I'm at work, and, you know, trying to make a living, and, you know, she, keyword trying, but, you know, she was, you know, she had to go to the hospital, but there was a wonderful friend, lady in this church who came and got her and took her to the hospital and took Josiah off her hands so that, you know, she'd be able to be there. And once I got there, man, everything was fine. And I don't know what to say about that. I guess I don't care that much if anybody does stuff for me. You know, it doesn't matter now. But when folks do stuff for my wife and take care of my family like that, I feel like I'm in debt. I feel like I owe, you know, people who cared. And so I just wanted to say thank you to all the different people who've been praying. You know, prayer may not seem like that much, but last time I checked, it still worked. Yeah. And I believe with all my heart that the reason why Esther still is holding on to this baby and we're still doing well is because some folks have prayed. You know, I know we have, but I believe some of God's people here at church have prayed also, and I appreciate that. And thank God that you have, because I know God hears prayer and he answers prayer, and, you know, and I think we're doing good because of that. You know, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I have confidence that God's going to take us through, and it's because folks have prayed, and I just want to say thank you for that. I thank you for all the folks who prepared food. Man, it's been good. Now, I know preacher says that I eat all the food. That's not true at all. I can say that because he's not here, but yeah, that's not true. What he's saying, I'm not eating all the food. Esther eats a lot of that food. The Nylars made some curry and shepherd's pie for us last week. And if you know anything about England, they have a huge Indian population there from the country of India, not like Native American India. And Indians eat curry. And so she was so excited. I brought the food in, and she's like, oh, did they know? How did they know? You know, and all this. You know, I said, I don't know, you know, if they do or not. But she was, you know, she was excited about it and happy. She thought for sure that somehow they figured out that that's what she likes, and, you know, they made it for her. I don't know if it was done on purpose or not, but I like what Mrs. Dyer said to me. She said, well, God knew. So, you know, that was a blessing. I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you for all the folks who visited. She does take visitors, you know. If anybody wants to stop by, just make sure you call her first. But, you know, she does take visitors. She actually likes it. She's bored out of her mind, you know. One of the things, if you do continue to pray for her patience. You know, she's having a little bit of a rough time trying to stay in bed and do what she's supposed to do. And, you know, sometimes I have to argue with her. So, you know, we pray for that. I want to say thank you to all the people who've called. A lot of folks have called and have written notes, and that means more to her than what you know. It means a lot more to her than what you know. To think that she's not here, and yet somebody took some time out of their day to say, hey, we were thinking about you, we were praying for you, and it means so much more than what you know. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Sometimes, folks, we need to be careful about this thing. We assume folks don't want to be bothered or folks don't want to be whatever and this, that, and the other. And I'll tell you, sometimes we're sitting there waiting for somebody to say something, you know, and many people have done that, and it means a lot to her. And because of that, it means a lot to me. So thank you very much. I want to say thank you for people who've given gifts, preachers giving us stuff that people have given gifts to. Thank you for people who've helped with Josiah. Like I said, the lady who took him off of our hands when she went to the hospital. There's a family who came and played with him during the week to try to give her a little bit of a break and whatnot and stuff. And boy, it's that's just a blessing more than you guys could probably know. And I guess if I could say on her behalf, if she was here today, we love you guys. And we appreciate this church more than what y'all could probably know. You know, I've been here for over 20 years now. I've grown up here. I've been here a long time. I see a lot of people that I've known for a long time. And I just don't know how to express sometimes how we feel about this place. There's no place like this place. There's no place like this church and these people. And I want to just say thank you once again for that. You know, every once in a while I've had the opportunity to go to other places and preach. I've preached in my brother's church. I love my brother's church. Great church. You know, they've got wonderful people there. And I tell them every time I come, I say, you know, you guys are my second favorite church in the whole wide world. And I tell them that every time. And I'm not just saying that to play on that. If you can ask those folks up there, I tell them all the time because this is my favorite church, no doubt about it. And I thank you so, so much for everything that you guys have done. All right, if you've got Colossians chapter number 1, and we're looking at verses 15 through 18. If you would, why don't we stand for the reading of God's Word. we'll read the verses responsively like preacher does. I'll start on 15, you guys join me on 16, I'll do 17, and then you join me on 18. The Bible says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for these folks who are here, God, and come and listen to your word. Lord, please just use me, God. Some way, somehow, I pray that they would see you through what I have to say, Lord. Lord, don't let them see me. They're going to see a lot of faults and failures, God. Please let them see you and what you laid on my heart for them to know, Lord. Please just use me in a special way if you could. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be seated. Before I get started, I'll say what I said last time I preached here. I am very well aware whose pulpit I'm behind. Okay? So nobody has to tell me. You know, I know preacher probably as well as anybody here in the church. He was the man who brought me to church. Some of you guys know that. He individually was the man who brought me to church. All these years, he's mentored me, and I mean, literally, he's been to my house, I don't know, a million times, and we've talked and spent hours upon hours together. So I feel like I know the man of God, and I know that there's no way in the world I could tie his shoes. So we got that out the way. I'm not trying to be a preacher. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. Let's put that out the way, okay? But what I would like is that for the next couple of minutes, I believe I have something that I believe our church and churches like us struggle with. And I believe with all my heart that I could help this church if you'd give me a chance. So I know you probably would much rather hear a preacher and you'd much rather listen to someone else. But if you would just for a few moments put that away and just give me a chance to try to explain to you the fault that God put on my heart. And I really believe with all my heart that this is something that can help our church. Now, to give you a little background here on these verses, it's just amazing to me, you know. Y'all know how I preach, so I'm just going to preach how I know how to preach. I hope that's okay. But I love what it says there. It says, for in verse number 15, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You know, there's just something about Jesus that gets me a little excited every once in a while. When I think about who he is and the things that he's done and how incredible and awesome and just mighty and wonderful and powerful that God is, I don't know about you, but every once in a while I got to step back and just concentrate and think on that for a little bit. It just makes me excited. I mean, the book tells us that he made everything that there is, and not only did he make it, everything that was made for him. He's a mighty great God. He said, I didn't just create it, I made it for my pleasure, for what I wanted, for what I desire. And I just find that incredibly awesome that we got a God that you tell me what it is that's out there, and for him it was made. Now, if that don't get a couple of Baptists excited to know that God is over all, that Jesus Christ has created everything for his sake, I don't know what can get you excited, brothers and sisters. I'm trying to tell you, there's something about that that just, boy, you just talk about Jesus, and it just stirs me up just a little bit. If that's all right with y'all, I just get happy about it. You know, it just makes me just feel good. But I want to give you the main point of my message today. Let's look at verse number 18, and it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. It is Jesus Christ. That word preeminence literally means first place. He wants to be the initial starting point of everything that we do. I don't care what it is that you do. If he's not the initial starting point, you've already failed. He wants to be the initial starting point. He wants to be the reason. He wants to be the focus behind all that you do. I mean everything. When you go to work, the reason that you go to work is because of him. He wants to be the reason for everything. Now, some people might say who aren't saved, surely nobody in here will say this, but some folks might say who aren't saved, well, that that's kind of cocky. He wants to be everything. Well, when you're Jesus, you get to say that. You get to say, I want to be first place and I want everything bowing down to me. Well, you're Jesus, you can do that. Now, if I said that, I can understand why you get mad. But Jesus, he can say that. He can want that and desire that. So we want to preach a message today called, What Only Works with the Why. What Only Works with the Why. Please listen very carefully. I'm going to read a list to you. Do you read your Bible and you find yourself not really getting anything? Do you pray and feel as if you were talking to yourself? Do you come to church and you leave the same way that you came? Do you sing the songs of God and yet it has no effect on you? Do you teach or preach and yet you feel like something's missing? Do you try to love people, but you find that it's a chore? Do you live by convictions that you wonder sometimes, why am I doing this? Do you, if I could read my own handwriting, do you work at your marriage, but still something's not quite right? Do you work at your marriage, but still you feel something's not quite right? Do you train up your kids in the right way only to see that it seems like it's not working? These things that I've just said to you, they are the what's of life. There's many more that I could have named. I just named some major big ones that I think we deal with every day here in our Christian lives. Most of us hopefully read our Bible. Most of us hopefully pray. Most of us, we're here, we go to church. Most of us, I hope, sing the songs of God. Most of us try to love people. Most of us try to live by conviction. Most of us, if we are married, we're doing everything we can to try to make it work. Most of us, if you have kids, you're doing everything you can to train up a child in the way that he ought to go so that he won't depart from it. Most of us are trying to do that. There's a whole bunch of what that we're doing. There's a whole bunch of things that we're doing in this thing we call Christian life. And yet, for some reason, if we're honest with ourselves, if we could really look deep down inside the heart and face ourselves in the intimate, deepest moments where nobody else can see, we would have to say there's something missing. We would have to say, when I read my Bible, there's times it feels like I didn't get anything. And yet we hear preachers say, well, bless God, you got to read your Bible. And you've tried and you've read and you've read and you've read, and yet when you get done, you know you didn't get anything. You know you didn't learn not a word. You know that for whatever reason, it was just words on the pages and it didn't burn like preacher told you it would. Maybe you've prayed and you've sought God for some things. You've needed God on your behalf. You needed God to help you. You needed God. And yet, some way, somehow, you got off your knees and you felt to yourself, I felt like I was talking to empty air. I felt like I wasn't getting across what I wanted to get across. I feel like I failed. We go to church, and I think this is one of the saddest things. We come in full of sin and wickedness and things in our heart and lives and thoughts, and we leave out the same way. What a shame. What a shame to come into the house of God, to be able to lay your burdens down for a little while and hear the man of God open the book of God to preach the words of God to the people of God, and you go home the same way. What a shame. It shouldn't be that way, but yet, if we're honest with ourselves, see, right now, if it's okay with y'all, can we put off the church attire for a little bit? Can we put away all the, you know, I'm brother so-and-so, and I'm sister, you know, and I love the Lord, and, you know, we all got that, right? can we put that away for a little bit? Can we put away all this garbage of, you know, I've been saved, I'm a sanctified saint for 35 years? Can we put that away for a little bit? Is that all right with y'all? Can we just be real with each other? Nobody's here but us. I won't tell. We'll just be real. Just for a second, just for a little bit. We'll be real. We do convictions, and you've heard preachers say you shouldn't do this, so you go home and you don't do it. But yet, when you don't do it, at the end, you feel like, why am I doing this? Come on now. Come on now. Somebody in here knows what I'm talking about, if we can be honest and real here. Come on now. We live by standards. We've got rules. We've got things. We've got the what. The what means a whole bunch to us. We walk around and I got my suit. I don't dress like those liberal, rebel, wicked, backslidden preachers. we got it all together. But that's all we got. And we know that something's missing. We know that for whatever reason, the things we thought would help us, the things we thought would bless us, the things we thought would change us, they're not doing what we thought they would. It's a lot of what? I want to say thank you to those of you who are doing the what's. Because you know what? There's a whole bunch of people who could care less about the Bible. And thank God there's some people in here who still love the holy book of God. Thank God that there's some folks who still know how to pray. Thank God that there's some folks who still come to church when everybody else is sitting at home. Thank God for that. I'm not trying to get down on you for the what. I'm just saying sometimes we do the what and then we don't get what we expected to get after we do it. So my point number one is the what without the why will leave us incomplete. The Bible talks about Christian maturity. Maturity in the Bible, perfection in the Bible, always means complete. It never means that you're never going to do anything wrong or that your life is going to be sinless or anything like that. That is heresy. It means you're supposed to be complete. You're supposed to be mature in Christ. And when you do a lot of the what, but you don't have the why, you're going to be incomplete. And that's that feeling that you get inside that you can't explain. You're sitting there and you're doing the what, and you're trying to say to yourself, well, I just don't understand why I feel this way, why I don't have the joy, the happiness, the blessing I thought I would get. And you would never tell anybody because we're so used to putting on an act for folks. We wouldn't tell anybody because they might think I'm bad or I'm not a good Christian. Amen? That's what we think. I don't want to say that because, boy, you know, they're going to talk about me. I don't want that. But the what without the why will leave you incomplete. That's why you do the what and you have that feeling of incompleteness, of that something's not right, that something is just off. I believe that's the Holy Spirit of God trying to point something out to us. That's why we feel that way. The what without the why, they compete. But number two, the why is a who. The why is a who. Tell you guys an illustration to kind of point out my point. When I was dating my wife, one of the highlights that we had was we went to the Valentine's banquet. I mean, the first time we went to the Valentine's banquet. Well, I tell you, I got me a new suit. Man, you know, y'all see I like suits. I got me a new suit. I got me new socks, new shoes, boy. I got my hair all, we call it, you know, as black folk, we get faded up. I got all faded up and everything and stuff. And, you know, boy, I thought I was looking good, man. I had it all going, boy. Shaved up, looking nice and spiffy. Yeah, and boy, I wanted so bad to look all right for that girl that I was trying to take to the Valentine's banquet. Well, we got to the Valentine's banquet, they had a great program. I mean, it was funny. You were laughing, having a good time. Boy, they sang love songs. And we're all sitting there, oh, this is so sweet. Oh, yes. Well, every once in a while, I see a woman to make a brother want to sing. I don't know if y'all knew that, but she, a woman to make a brother want to sing. You may not be able to sing, but you get the right woman. You're going to want to one day. Baby, girl, don't you know? But anyway, well, that's what they'll do for you. A woman to do that for you. You get the right kind of woman, and you find yourself all of a sudden doing things you thought you would never do. And that's what I felt like, boy. I was sitting there, and I was trying to put on this thing, and I'm sitting there enjoying myself and having a good time, and we're enjoying the program. We're enjoying the songs. We're enjoying everything that's going on. Boy, I saw a lot of my friends. I'm talking to my friends. Hey, brother so-and-so, how you doing? Boy, you look good. All right. That's your date? Oh, good. All right. You know, and I was polite, and I was kind, and well, we had a good time, and boy, you saw a lot of girls. They came in and they looked nice and looked wonderful and beautiful for their men or whatever, but I didn't really notice them. I was waiting for one, see. Oh, but then I remember standing there at the beginning and watching all the people go past, and then she came. And boy, I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, I hope she likes. You know, I'm trying to put on, you know, what us guys do. We're trying to, you know, you got to impress them, huh? You know, I'm trying to do what I can. You know, I don't have much to work with. I'm trying. So, hey, you know, kick you out of the ministry. But anyway, I'm trying to work with what I can. So I'm doing all this work and everything and stuff to put on this show and this app for her. But, you know, the food was great. I didn't care about the food. You know, the people that were there were great, but I didn't care about those people. You know, the nice clothes that I had, I was glad that God allowed me to buy them and I could look a little nice for my girl. But I didn't care about that clothes. I didn't care about the nice, wonderful pictures we got to take. I'll tell you guys something funny. We still have those pictures from that Valentine's banquet, and we have them in our room. And we've got some of our wedding photos and that photo in our room. And my son comes in, and he looks at those wedding photos, and he looks at that Valentine's banquet, he goes, hey, there's Daddy. You look nice, Daddy. He said, oh, thanks, Joro. He said, hey, that's Mommy. Mommy, you're pretty. He's like, all right. Then he goes, where's Joro? You know? And he can't figure out why he's not there. And I'm like, son, if you only knew, we weren't married. Well, you can't be there. You know? You can't be there at that time. See? Well, it just cracks me up when he gets mad about it, too. You know, he pouts and walks out the room. It got so bad, we had to put a picture up that with him in there that showed him, okay, we love you, too. We got a picture of you in here. But the point is that all those things were what? I didn't care about the what. I cared about the who. See, I didn't come for the food. I came for her. I didn't come for the clothes. I came for her. I didn't come for the people. I came for her. I didn't come for all the little niceties and the dainty food and all that garbage. I came for her. And if I got her, I was happy. I didn't care about the food. I didn't care about the people. I didn't care about the program. Thank God for all of them. But I wanted her. That's who I wanted. That's what I was desiring. That's what I needed. Could I get her? And by the way, it worked. I came for her. See, the why is the who. The who is Jesus Christ. The next time you read your Bible, do you come to read it to find him? Do you come to read it to find him in there? Or is it just some game or some thing that you're playing and trying to do? I read my Bible to find Christ in it. John chapter 5 and verse 39, the Bible says, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me." Jesus said, you think you're all big shots, you religious folks. You think you got it all together. You're reading the Bible and you think you got it all figured out. But he said, but when you read the book, if you read it right, you'd understand that it's talking about me. See, the next time you read your Bible, don't you read it because it's a chore, because it's a duty, because it's an obligation. You read it because there's somebody you came for. You came for Jesus. And that's what I want to find when I read the Bible. And that changes the way that I read my Bible and what I get when I read my Bible. I didn't come for just reading the book. I came to find Him. I pray to talk to my Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. He didn't say, hey, when you pray, put on a big show and, you know, you just talk all these great, wonderful things. See, I'm afraid, Brother Jason, sometimes all we do when we go in prayer, we're asking God for stuff. Last time I checked, I got a father. How would you feel if your son came to you and all he ever wanted was something? He never wanted to talk to you. He never wanted to spend time with you. He just wanted you to give him something. Sometimes we act like welfare kids. God's sick of us coming to Him all the time. All we got is, Lord, I need. If you only knew, Lord, oh, please, give me something. And God said, wait a minute, I want to talk to you. Prayer is a simple talk with thy Father. I don't know if you knew it or not, but if you're saved, He's your Father. And thank God for it. And that's what prayer is all about. When we go to church, you go to church to meet Jesus. Thank God for our preacher and the great messages that he preaches, but I don't come for preaching. Thank God for the great choir and the many songs that we sing and have a good time with. But I didn't come for all that. I came because I know He's there. Because the Bible says that in the midst of two or three that are gathered in my name, there am I. He said, I'm right there. I'm in the middle of that. And last time I checked, there's two or three of us in here. Last time I checked, so I think He's here right now. Right now, He's here. And when you come to church, I hope you don't walk out of here saying, oh, well, you know, Brother Larry had a good sermon. Or, oh, Brother Larry had a bad sermon. I hope you got what you came for, and that's to get Him. Because in the mess, that's where He is. I came for Him. Thank God for the wonderful church team. Boy, I sing the songs of God. I want to draw closer to my Lord. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, that last part says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I'm not here to impress you with my singing. I love to sing. I love to sing. I do. I love to sing. I don't know if I'm any good, but I love to sing. But I'm not here to impress you with my singing. There's good people here who can sing. There's good people here who can get the job done. There's good people here who can make it happen. But I hope that you're not here just impressed by somebody putting on a show for you and having some great song. But when you hear the songs of God, does it draw you closer to Him? Boy, I hear bow the knee and choir, all you that are in the choir, that's enough to make a Presbyterian want to shout when you hear that song. But I tell you what, it puts me in a mood and I start thinking about up there in glory. I think about the fact that in the throne room of God, someday the great name of Jesus is going to be announced and someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Every time I hear that song, I imagine that I'm there. And I get to hear it and say it for myself. I want that to draw me closer to the Lord. I don't want to just hear songs to be impressed. I want to draw closer to the Lord. I teach and preach to help myself and those who hear me to learn about Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18 says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. And if you look two verses further down, the Bible says, But we cannot but speak those things which we have seen and heard. They said, we got to talk about Jesus because that's what we know. We didn't come here to give you some tickly story to make you feel good and to comfort you and to make you happy. They said, we're trying to tell you what we know. And we know Jesus. And that's who you need to hear. And that's who you need to see. When you teach or when you preach a class, don't worry so much about trying to teach them, well, thou shalt not. Thou shalt this, thou shalt that. What about Jesus? I'm not telling you don't preach standards. I'm not telling you don't preach convictions. I'm telling you make sure that you understand the reason why you're doing that. And it's Him. And if you're not pointing people to Him, you're making a huge mistake. A huge mistake. And that might be the reason why when we teach and preach, we feel empty sometimes. We get a Sunday school lesson for Brother Caleb or whoever writes those up and passes those out to us, and we teach it verbatim, and we never once got a hold of God to deliver to those who hear. We never once got a hold of Him. And then we wonder why our sermons and our lessons are so empty and so powerless, because it's just some regurgitated garbage that we got from somebody else instead of rising up and saying, let me tell you about Him. Let me talk to you for a minute about the one who changed me, about the one who made me different, about the one who did something awesome in my life. I want to talk to you about Him. I may not have a whole bunch to say, but I sure can talk about Him. And I hope you can too. I have convictions because I want to love Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. You know why you're having convictions? It's not to put on some show so we can walk around holy and thinking we're better than everybody else. We have rules and convictions and standards because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if you truly want to be the child of God that you claim you want to be, you want to serve me, you want to love me, you want to be that, you got to keep my commandments. Let me help you guys with something. Don't let your convictions be just what the church says. Boy, it's quiet in here. I knew it was going to be kind of funny when I was writing this. I said, brother, man, I'm in trouble. You know, I was writing this stuff. But I'm telling you, I know if preacher was here, he'd amen this. Don't let your convictions just be what the church says. You better have a reason why you're doing what you're doing. Because you know what's going to happen? Someday, you're going to get tired of that, brother. Or someday, you might get sideways with the church. And if your convictions are only based off what the church says, when you get sideways with them, you've lost your convictions. Oh, but if you learn why you're doing it. If you understand that you got convictions because there's one who hopefully you never could get sideways with because we owe Him a debt that none of us could ever repay. If we understand that it's because of Him and that we're trying to love Him, we'll keep them when times get hard. We'll keep them when things get rough. We'll keep them when it doesn't make sense to us. And by the way, you new folks who are here at the church, there's going to come a time and a place where stuff won't make sense. But if you love Him, if you love Him, and you try to keep His commandments, you'll make it. I promise you, you'll make it. For 20 years, that's what I've done. I don't know if I've made everybody happy with the way that I've done stuff, but for 20 years, I've tried my best to love Him. I've tried. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've tried. I've tried to love Him. And all I know is I can look at the proof of the pudding and say there was people who had the godly parents, people who had all the background that I never had. I'm here, they're not. You tell me. You call that cocky, whatever you want to call that, but I'm telling you the truth. If you love me, you're going to keep His commandments. Don't let your convictions be what mama and daddy said. Let your convictions be what Jesus said. Don't let your convictions be what the Sunday school says. And you guys know, please don't anybody take this the wrong way. Don't let your convictions be just what preacher says. Please don't let that be. Let it be what the book says. That's why I love our preacher. He opens up the book to tell us what it says. He's not just talking to us. He's giving us what the book says. That's why I have convictions. I work on my marriage because it honors God. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, the Bible says marriage is honorable in all. It honors God. So when my wife gets on my nerves, and it happens, you know, but I'm sure I'll probably get on her nerves more than she gets on mine. But it happens. When that happens, instead of running out the door, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, not just because I've been told, oh, you want to stay married, it's just the right thing to do. No, because I know it honors God. And God says, when times get rough, when times get hard, when it doesn't make sense, when you're at odds, and by the way, you will be at odds at times, when all that happens, God says, hey, it honors me, don't you give up. You keep on fighting. You keep on doing it. See, that'll keep you going when everything else that you kind of believe kind of flies out the window. You got to find a reason, a why. The why is a who. I train up kids because they belong to the Lord. Psalm chapter 127 and verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Do we not understand our kids are not our own? Our hearts were broken when we went through everything we went through with Josiah. And then we had a stillborn, the second child. But you know, I've read verse after verse on kids to try to encourage myself. And one of the things that excited me, brother, was that I was able to know that it was he wasn't mine in the first place. And right now, he's up in heaven with the King of Kings, with a daddy far better than I would have ever been. And I can be upset about it, but I know that it was never mine in the first place. So the next time when you're trying to train up your kids, quit trying to tell them what you want them to do. Lo, kids are an heritage of the Lord. How about you just point them to Jesus? Son, I don't have much to tell you, but I can tell you about Jesus. Daughter, I don't have much to tell you, but I can tell you about Jesus. I did it a certain way. I don't know if my way is right or not, but I can tell you about Jesus. That's how we do it. The doing of the what without the why makes us incomplete. The why is a who. Do you know the reason why you're doing the what? If you can understand the reason why, when it gets hard, when it gets tough, when you don't understand, you can make it. See, I came here today not to discourage anybody. I came to encourage you, to let you know that you can make it. You can make it. I don't care how bad the circumstances get. I don't care if it makes no sense. I don't care if you're sitting to yourself, scratching your head, wondering how in the world is all this going to work out. All I know is that I can make it because he has promised that we can. And the only way that you're going to do that, you're going to have to make him preeminent. He's going to have to be first place. My children are not first place. He should be first place. But even when I read the Bible, I don't just read it just to read it. It's he's first place. My prayer just isn't about what I want. It's making him first place. Going to church isn't just about me being around wonderful people and having a good time. It's because he's there and I need him. And I'm going to do whatever I've got to do because the why is a who. And if I'm going to make it, I better get a hold of that reason. I better get a hold of that reason. I better know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Number three, we'll be done here. The doing of what, along with the why, makes you complete. The doing of what, along with the why, makes you complete. I don't want anybody to walk out of here and say, now, preacher, he told us we shouldn't really worry about the what so much. We should just, you know, love Jesus. Now, I didn't say that. I did not say that. Please, nobody tell preacher I said that. I did not say that. You know, what I said was, when that's all you got, it leaves you incomplete. But when you put the what, and bless God, you've got the why. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad I got the why. I look at my family sometimes and all the things are going wrong. Preachers talked about it time and time again, and I think to myself, that could have been me. And you know what the only difference was? The why. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. I'm not in a game today because of the why. I'm not out there slinging dope and doing things that other people are doing because of the why. Thank God for the why. And when you put those two together, all of a sudden you'll find those things that you're working so hard at. You're working so hard and you're failing. You'll find that they will make you complete. Look at verse number 16 there. It says right at the end, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That in all things. Can I ask you what all means? Anybody know what all means? There's no exception to all. So whether I'm working on my marriage, he's preeminent in all things. Whether I'm
working with my child, he's preeminent in all things. Whether I'm teaching a class, he's preeminent in all things. Whether I'm reading my Bible, he's preeminent in all things. Whether I'm praying, he's preeminent in all things. Whether I'm trying to sing songs to God, he's preeminent in all things. Whether I'm going to church, he's preeminent in all things. You tell me, if you got an exception, you're missing out on what God has said. There's no exception to that. He's preeminent in all things. There is no exception to what he is not first place in. The only problem is we don't make him first place. And when we don't, we live a life that's incomplete. Almost 7 years ago, I had the darkest day of my life. May 16th, 2004, I was on my way to church like I always am. But Joe Griffin came by my house. Knocked on the door and said, your family's trying to call you. They can't get a hold of you. I said, okay. So I called up. I got the worst news that anybody would ever want to hear. They said, your mama's gone. They said, they found her body this morning. She's dead. I didn't know what to do. You know, my dad left us when I was three. Walked out. He's had nothing to do with us. Not one birthday card, not one call, not one care at all about us. All I had was my mother, you know. I used to think that since that's all I had, God was going to let her live for a long time. I look around the church and I see people got mom, they got dad. All I got is mom. She's a good mother. That's all I got. And now she was gone. Now she wasn't there. I remember just looking at that phone and I thought, this can't be true. We had just went on a date, double date, my brother with his wife. None of us were married yet, and me with my wife, and we had just seen her the night before. It's amazing how quickly life can change. We had just seen her. Thought this can't be true. Preacher was so kind to us, he took me and my brother to his house and tried to encourage us through that afternoon. And he said, I understand if you don't want to do it, but if you want to come to church, I hope you will. I said, well, we'll see, preacher. Can I be honest with you for a second? We're being real today, right? Can I be honest with you for a second? I didn't want to come to church. I didn't want to be here. I thought all those people are happy. I don't want to be around that. To myself, you know, people are going to come up and it's just going to be worse. Well, I'm going to hurt even more than what I'm hurting right now. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to come. I'll be honest with you, like I said, I'm being real. I didn't care what anybody thought. I really didn't. You go through something like that before you judge me. You're going to find out you'll feel the same way. You won't care then. You won't care if a preacher sees you there or not. You won't care. I promise you that. You won't care. You won't care if brother so-and-so notices you're not in your pew and is going to talk about you. I thought to myself, they can talk all they want to. I didn't care. I did not care. And I sat there with my broken heart as preacher preached about this morning, thinking to myself, this isn't fair. So many people have so much and you take away. I only had one. I only had one. My daddy wants nothing to do with me and now I got no mother. I only had one. I didn't understand it. I couldn't follow it. And that's what I'm talking about. If you're going to church just because you want to experience the fellowship, guess what? When you reach that day that I reach, you won't care about the fellowship. If you're going to church just to make somebody happy, guess what? You won't care about making them happy when you reach that day that I was at. You won't care. I promise you, you won't care. And I sat there and I just wondered, but you know,
started thinking back in my mind how many times I'd come to church discouraged. Didn't think I could make it. And I walked in feeling that low and I walked out feeling that high. I started thinking to myself, you know, how many times did burdens and trials were going on in your life and nobody knew. I'd cry myself to sleep at night. Nobody knew. And yet you'd come and you'd get around those godly folks and you'd have a good time and boy, God would just speak to your heart. And in my human heart and mind, I did not want to do what I had always done, the what. But God said, come on now, Larry. There's been plenty of times you've come, and I've helped you. Brother, God brought that verse to my remembrance. Two or three are gathered together. There I am in the midst of them. I thought to myself, I don't care if folks see me or not at church, but I'm going to go because I know He's there. I know He's there. And all I knew was, if I was going to make it beyond this dark day in my life, if I was going to make it beyond this moment that in my heart I did not think I could get past, if I was going to do that, I was going to have to get Him. Because there was no way I was going to do it on my own. There was no way I was going to be able to make it by myself. I could see that. It was clear and evident to me. I was probably as depressed as I've ever been in my life. And I knew some way, somehow, I've got to get God. And I walked into this church, tears brimming in my eyes. And I remember that choir got up and they sang No More Night. No More Night. And I thought to myself, I was in heaven. I was in heaven. She's up there with Jesus. And, you know, I wanted her so bad to be with me. But even though she's not, she's with somebody much better now. Nobody can hurt her up there. Nobody can cause her any pain up there. No man can walk out of her life up there because the man that's in her life now has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, there was something about that. And all of a sudden I felt myself just get a little bit of relief, just get a little bit of pressure just elevated. And I felt to myself, wow, I think I can make it because I know that He is going to go with me. Folks, I'm trying to tell you, yes, I did a what, but I didn't do the what because of the what. I could care less about the what. I could care less about it. Y'all follow what I'm saying? I didn't care about coming to church. Didn't care. Did not care. If everybody in here would have said I was a bad person, I would have felt like, well, you got a lot of nerve. Walk in my shoes for a second. That's how I felt. Oh, but I had a why. I had a why, and I was so glad that why and that what came together, and it made me complete, and I was able to make it. And brother, still today, every once in a while, I get a little teary-eyed when I think about Mama, but I know that someday, in that great cloud of witnesses, I'm going to join her, and together we'll sing His praises, we'll shout His name. I believe right now, she's watching up in heaven and saying, that's my boy, oh, go ahead and get him, preach to him, tell him the truth, and I can't help it. Yes, it makes me excited. Makes me excited. See, when you put those two things together, the what and the why, my, you got something going on. You got something going on. And you'll stick with it. But it has to be put together. It has to be put together. Folks, I'm begging you, I love this church. I'm looking at people, and I don't know if y'all understand what I'm saying or not, but I love this church. And I'm not preaching this to try to act like I got all the answers and this, that, the other. I want God's people that I love to make it. I'm tired of folks quitting. I'm tired of folks giving up. I'm tired of folks changing. I wish somebody would get a hold of this truth of what I'm trying to tell you. And understand that, bless God, you can make it. Yes, you can. You can make it. But you're only going to do it if you put that what and that why together. The what and the why makes you complete. Friend, do you want to be complete? Do you want to be the mature Christian person for God that you're supposed to be? Do you even care about that?
I do. I don't want to stand in front of him and be embarrassed and him saying, you know, you could have been, but you weren't. I want God to say, you gave it everything you got. And I'm so proud of you, son. You became complete. You didn't become perfect, but you became complete. You became what you were supposed to be, a mature, complete Christian person in Christ. Friend, today you can make a decision that I'm going to marry my what with the why. And I'm going to change the way I read my Bible. I'm going to change the way that I pray. I'm going to change the way that I go to church. I'm going to change the way that I sing the songs of God. I'm going to change the way that I love folks. I'm going to change my way I come up with my convictions. I'm going to change the way that I work on my marriage. I'm going to change the way that I train up my children. I'm going to marry those two together, and I'm going to live a new and different Christian life. And I promise you, if you follow through what I'm saying, you'll find that completeness, that maturity in Christ that we all should be looking for. You'll find it. But you got to be willing. Today could be the first step in being willing to do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I just want to ask one simple question. Many people say, Brother Larry, I heard what you had to say, and today I want to make a decision to marry the what and the why so that I could be complete. If that's you today, would you raise your hand? That's you. Well, that's a blessing. All right. In a few moments, I'm going to pray, and I would hope that the folks who raise their hand and who will be a part of it, don't just sit in your pew and just stew there. Boy, you come and make a decision and get on the altar, and you ask God to help you to make that decision a reality. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for what you've done in today's service, Lord. I just pray and hope that somebody got this message, Lord, and what I was trying to say. And God, I pray that tonight there will be several decisions made to make the what and the why together, Lord, so they can be complete Christians for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. The ladies are playing. Come forward if you've got a decision.